The following is a radio version of a sermon preached on June 11th, 2017, on the text of 1 Peter 2, verse 12. 1 Peter 2, verse 12, follows immediately upon verse 11. I'll read the two together. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Last time we began our look at the second application that the Apostle Peter has in mind here in chapter 2, after he reminded us of our preciousness and our favored status in the sight of God, and of our calling to be sojourners and exiles in this age as we seek to be home with the Lord. First, he spoke of abstaining from the passions of the flesh, and then he spoke of our keeping our conduct honorable, both of which are specific activities related to the broader charge of God that Christians are to live self-disciplined lives as well as purposeful and deliberate ones. Tonight, I want to draw aside for a bit and offer you some practical guidelines on how you might respond to Peter's call to keep your conduct honorable and practice this more effectively in your life. And to do that, we can turn to the most natural direction in Scripture, the moral law of God, or the Ten Commandments. First, then, have no other gods in your life. Everyone worships someone or something. Even the so-called atheist has something in his life that consumes him. And whatever it is that consumes you, whatever it is that takes up your time, that takes up your money, whatever it is that is the highest priority to you, whatever it is that you give yourself to, these are all on display in the way others observe you and your conduct. When the Lord is the one you worship, not only do you prize and value the best things, but your pride and your self-centeredness are naturally held in check, and you truly do seek the good of others. That is an important characteristic in a Christian, and it sets you apart from other people. Matthew 6:24 says, "No one can serve two masters," Jesus says, "for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other." Number two, idolatry. Do not become materialistic. Idolatry is anything that not only consumes you, but controls you. If the only thing on your mind is the latest, greatest phone or video game, if the only thing on your mind are what the girls and boys in your classes at school think, or the politics at work, or the money you have invested, if you are superstitious, if you are stuck and addicted to routines or habits, if you are trusting in luck or in chance in order to manipulate or control the future, then you are an idolater, and your attitude and your language will show it, and people will know you truly by what you do. Instead, be a continual student of the Word of God. Memorize Scripture, dwell on it, grow in understanding so you will be more able to trust in God with the things in your life. Hold things in this life with a loose hand so that they do not get a grip on you. Jesus says in Matthew 6, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Number three, take the name of Christ wherever you go. Many Christians hide their faith in public because they fear man more than they fear God. They want to be liked. They want to be accepted. They want to fit in. It is hard for a Christian to be laughed at or mocked or rejected, and as a result of giving in to that, the Christian's conduct slowly becomes more conformed to the world, and you begin to imitate the sinful behavior of others. The more you hide your faith, that is, the more you disguise your true self, the more of your own identity you lose. You become like those people in the world. You become confused about who you really are. But when you are bold to profess your Christian faith, you will be met with times when you have to defend it. And defending your faith always makes you stronger. And guess what? You get better at standing for Christ, and the people in your life will actually grow to respect you more. You don't have to wear it on your sleeve. You should not boast or brag in some superior fashion, but you can be a disciple of Christ in meekness. And remember, meekness is a lot stronger than weakness. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Point 4, practice delighting in the Lord's day. The fourth commandment speaks directly concerning your conduct. Remember the Lord's day and keep it holy. This means the Christian must work at not forgetting the Lord's day. By participating or anticipating or planning, for giving yourself to worship and for prayer, determining to give the day to fellowship, to family, to ministry, and to rest. The Christian must guard against distractions and temptations to do the kinds of things you might normally do on any other day of the week, which might be totally fine to do on those other days, but which tempt and lead you to forget the day of the Lord. It also means that your conduct on the Lord's day is to be holy. That means separate, distinct, set apart from the way others behave, act, and do on their days off. How one spends the Lord's day reveals his priorities, his values. This day should not be just another Saturday, during which you are free just to enjoy yourself and to do the things you want to do. It is a time that you are to set aside. You are to spend it with the Lord and with the Lord's people, reminding yourself of your family and your family members of your hope for heaven and how real that will be for you one day. The prophet Isaiah writes in chapter 58, "If you turn back from doing your pleasure on my holy day and call the holy day of the Lord honorable, not going your own ways or seeking your own pleasure or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth." Point number 5, recognize God's gift to you in the form of your parents. Honoring parents is more than finally doing what they have been nagging you to do for a while. It means giving them your respect and appreciation by acting quickly and cheerfully. And as a general application to this, you should treat older people with respect as well. Don't just walk quickly by the older people in the church building after worship because you don't think you have anything in common with them. That kind of conduct appears to others as selfish and rude. Look them in the eye, talk to them, be respectful around them. Learn of who they are and what they have learned in the years of their life. Remember, older people are simply a few years ahead of you, and yes, they can teach you a great deal if you let them. Romans 13 says, pay to all what is owed to them, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. Number 6, guard your life. We usually think of the sixth commandment in terms of how precious the lives of others are to be to us. But when it comes to your conduct, you should also be reminded of how precious your own life is in Christ and how valuable this time in your life really is. What you do or don't do today will open or close doors of opportunity tomorrow. So if you are bored with your life right now, and you give in to the temptation to waste your time today, do not blame anyone else that nothing in your life ever changes because it is your fault. If you are distracted into sin and lose your focus, if you are giving in to temptation to be lazy and to procrastinate, then not only does it demonstrate itself in your attitude and your conduct, but you are also throwing away a valuable part of your life, and your behavior will reveal your true priorities. Paul writes in Ephesians 5, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil." Point number 7, respect the Lord's day, respect life, also respect marriage. If you are single, your conduct should also demonstrate a deep respect for the value of the marriage bond, and that means aiming for it yourself. Waiting for the sexual union that is properly and reverently reserved for a man and his wife, and abstaining from casual flirtation and dating, or even from giving yourself to romantic relationships that leads easily into promiscuity before you know for sure that you are ready. Guard your language. Do not be casual with your expressions of emotion, such as, "I love you," which are often words used to manipulate others rather than speak of true commitment. Reserve that word only for your potential spouse alone. If you are married, respect the institution that you are in as a gift from Christ, and respect the bonds of others' marriages by guarding your behavior and your words when you are around the spouse of someone else. Hebrews 13, verse 4 says, "Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled." Point 8, take care of your own private property. You can readily recognize a spoiled individual by how routinely he abuses even expensive things simply because he has no regard for their value. While Christians are not to be caught up with the treasures of the earth, appreciating the value of things before us is important. A Christian must not waste what he has been given by God. He should work hard and faithfully. He should learn to budget, to avoid unnecessary spending and debt, to provide for his own family, and to rejoice in all good gifts as being from God. Matthew 25 says, "A good and faithful servant, being faithful over a little, will be set over much, and you will enter into the joy of your master." Point number 9, speak the truth in love and consideration. While your conduct may say one thing, your words may say another. And if your words are not honest, others will know it. Treat every word that comes forth from your mouth with care. Say what you mean what you say. Don't make promises or assurances or boasts that you have no power or intention of keeping. Be gentle with others and not harsh. Be considerate and not rude. Be constrained rather than blunt. This alone will separate you from most people in the world. Matthew chapter 12 says, Jesus says, "The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." And then point 10, do not let your heart lead you. The advice and the practice of the world is to follow your heart and let it take you wherever it desires. Scripture warns you in precisely the opposite direction. Subject your fickle emotions to the wisdom of God, for every intention of the thought of your heart is only evil, and that continually. You must not be prideful. You must not be vain. You must not be self-centered. And when you are fearful of either losing what you have or of not gaining what you think you want, remember to follow the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. These kinds of applications, and more like them, are the guide and the direction for your conduct, not only before other Christians or before the Gentiles, but also before your Lord. These kinds of applications are the way you give honor and glory to Christ.